Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, January 10th, 2013. Well, tonight's guest grew up in a household where Ron Sider's groundbreaking book, Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger, influenced how the family lived out its faith. But it wasn't until Beth McLean Weist, who was the director of a secular choral group at the time, was challenged to really live out her faith while watching other secular business people doing more than her. That led to the creation of Harmony Through Harmony, a choral group that develops musical and leadership skills through community building and raising awareness about social justice issues. Beth is on the phone with us from Calgary tonight to talk about Harmony Through Harmony. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Ruby from the Jacob and Lily CD, The Cathedral.
Ruby, don't go downtown. Ruby, come in and stay. It's a cold rain outside, and your bed's a ways away. Ruby, don't go downtown. Could you come in and stay? Lay down, sweet child. Don't give your heart. Don't give your heart. Give your heart away.
Now to our interview with Beth McLean Weist. Good evening, Beth.
Good evening.
Now, before we get into some of the details about Harmony Through Harmony, let's give our listeners a little bit of background about you. How did you get interested in choral music?
I started singing in a local show choir organization when I was 13 and found that it was a great place to have artistic expression, and I loved to sing and be in community, and that just grew, and I have not stopped singing since.
Now, how about music itself? When did you start getting involved in music and singing and things like that?
I was 4 when I started piano lessons. And I did piano and then junior high band and senior high band. I played flute and then went into singing. And eventually I did, at University of Alberta, I did a Bachelor of Education with a music and French double major.
Well, what made you decide to go through that and get, I'm assuming that at that point you were looking at probably what, teaching music and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
So what made you sort of decide that somewhere along the line music was going to be part of your career arc?
I think it was pretty early on. I knew I wanted to be a teacher really early on, like in elementary school, and the music part was just a part of who I am. And as I discovered the singing outlet, and I enjoy building community, and I have enjoyed bringing people together since a young age. So the mix of that in a choral environment made sense. So by high school, I already knew that I wanted to be doing something with music and teaching together. Mm-hmm. I didn't figure out that I wanted to be a choir director until university.
Now, how difficult was it for you to get into being a choir director?
Not very difficult at all, actually. The organization where I started singing in, when I was doing my practicums for my education degree, I contacted the director of that organization and asked her if she would be interested in having an assistant director for any of her choirs. And they'd never had one before, and I became the first. And from that, it evolved into 15 years with that organization.
Wow. Now, sort of looking at all this, who have been some of your influences as a musician?
In terms of popular culture, as a singer, I was really influenced by Barbara Streisand, Anne Murray, and Amy Grant, those voices I loved, and I'm an alto, so I enjoyed their range.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of people in my life, my parents have been my biggest fans since a young age. I don't think they've missed any of my concerts over the years, and so that really influenced my perseverance through it. In university, I had an amazing choral director. His name was Bob DeFries, and he's a teacher at the University of Alberta. And it was through him that I started seeing how you could use music and faith in a choral environment to reach people who weren't of faith. And then my mentor and boss through the years from when I was a teen, her name is Cheryl Penner, and she's just a remarkable woman with the vision of how music can be a means to change people's life. And
mm-hmm.
both of those people really influenced my direction.
Well, you mentioned your parents, and I know that in an interview, in a conversation we had before, you talked about how part of all of that influence was also looking at things like Ron Sider's book, Rich Christians in the Age of Hunger. How did those type of things influence your faith and influence your whole perspective of social justice?
My parents went through a major values realignment with Scripture when I was very young, when I was about between the ages of 5 and 7. And that book, Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger, and another one, The Upside Down Kingdom, challenged them to put their faith in action and to live it out Monday to Saturday in a way that they hadn't been, and to downsize and to simplify their life and to be really intentional about giving and being part of the solution, not part of the problem in development and world issues. And so I grew up in a duplex where we lived on one half and the other half was for missionaries who were home on furlough. And so we called it the wall to the world, the wall that our houses split. And I just was privileged to meet many, many different missionaries and get exposure to countries and cultures and challenges. As well as our church was very active in the how do you live out your faith. And so that was my normal, and I didn't realize that it wasn't very normal until I was an adult, that it was so intentionally outward focused and just integrity in how you were living your faith, mm-hmm. and including others and the poor as part of that.
Well, and you had sort of your own aha moment when you were taking a leadership seminar, and you suddenly realized that there were even people who weren't Christians who were doing more than you were. Sort of walk us through that again, because that was seemed to be a significant point for you in your own personal growth.
Hmm. In 2008, I was privileged to be a member of the Leadership Calgary program that we have here. And it is a program that takes participants from the business sector, the not-for-profit sector, and the government sector, and brings us all together to explore thinking and how our thinking influences our actions and what does that mean in a leadership context. And there were 28 of us, and we worked together from September to June. And over the course of that year, I realized that I was one of the few people of faith in that environment, and yet most of them were more actively involved in world issues and being part of doing something about it and being a voice than I was, and yet I knew that as a believer, I was called to be part of that solution. And I realized that I was giving financially, but that was about it. And that wasn't how I was raised, and I was kind of living vicariously off of my parents' involvement. But it was a real kick in the butt for me in terms of my faith of, so what do you really believe? And maybe your restlessness is in part due to the fact that you're only partly living out your faith, and what would it look like if you started to do something different?
Well, what I want to do is I want to take a quick break, because that sort of leads into where we're going to go with Harmony Through Harmony. But I want to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with Harmony Through Harmony director Beth McLean Wiest. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Build a Tower from Jacob and Lily CD, The Cathedral. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Harmony Through Harmony's Beth McLean as Wiest, right?
Yep, Wiest. You're correct.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's one of those double names. Everybody gets it mixed up.
Exactly. Well, and as we were talking before, you were sort of, your love for choral music and this whole aspect of your growing up in a household that focused on social justice, as well as your own personal experience with it, all sort of came together to create Harmony Through Harmony. How did that all fit in? How did that all work?
Well, as I was saying, Leadership Calgary challenged my thinking, and I started traveling after high school, and I went to Haiti for 4 months in a gap year before I did university, and then I did some mission trips throughout my university years. And so with my upbringing of being exposed to so many missionaries and their worldview and their world experiences, I had lots of curiosity about the world and wanting to explore it. So I wanted to see how could travel and world cultures and justice and music and leadership and faith, was there a way that they could all intersect? And I had no idea what that was going to look like. So I spent a lot of prayer as I was grappling through that Leadership Calgary year. And then truly one moment I was on the treadmill at the gym, and it was this epiphany of how they could potentially all intersect. And I was so excited I left the gym, and I called my husband out of work. Said, you got to see here. I told him how I thought it could potentially intersect, and what came out of that was Harmony Through Harmony.
And how did Harmony Through Harmony get started? Like, walk us through the actual origin of the group.
So Harmony Through Harmony, we use music to bring young adults together.
You were talking about Through Harmony uses music to carry, to bring young adults together. How did you put that group together at this point?
I spent a lot of time discussing what this could look like with people, and four of us, Tori Earhart, Becky Timmons, my husband, and I, happen to all be choral directors and also happen to sing soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. So that was fortunate, and so I asked the others if they would look for people, young adults in their circles of influence, who would be interested in going on a pilot project exploration of using choral music to bring us together, but where part of every weekly rehearsal we would spend some time discussing the lyrics and world issues and stuff in media, and that our lyrics would be intentionally chosen for what they were saying and where that journey would take us. And we ended up having a group of 10 young adults who took that risk and provided us lots of feedback in that pilot project year, and we've been going ever since.
Now, how long has it been going?
We began with the pilot project in October of 2009, so we're now in our fourth season, or our third official season.
Yeah. So now, how does it work? I mean, you're combining a number of different things. You have practices, you have leadership sessions, you do touring. How does all that work for the people that are involved in it?
We meet weekly on Tuesday nights, and we are there from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock officially, 6 o'clock to 6:30. We have supper together, and that is when we just hang out and build community. It also increases punctuality because people show up for food, and then we transition into our choral rehearsal, and we rehearse for about an hour and a half, and that includes vocal technique, and we learn a lot of music really fast, and the people who come into our group are able to do that quickly. And then we spend half an hour of every week in discussion, sometimes it's longer than half an hour, and we do book studies, we look at what our current events, we look at scripture, we look at our lyrics depending on the week. And over the course of our year together, so we run from October until May, it's a very intense time, but our group as a community, we end up going on a journey together. And at the end of the year, we put on an awareness concert on wherever God has led us through that year, through all of our discussions and through our music. It's a pretty organic, Holy Spirit-driven process. However, we perform all throughout the year, and we take music from subsequent years and keep it going. So as a result of, I guess, the commitment of time that is involved, there's lots of participant involvement in the running of our shows, in the planning of our trips, in the outreach or learning experiences, projects that are, I guess, enrichment opportunity to what happens mm-hmm. on a regular Tuesday night. And this age group, they enjoy just being together. They've got lots of time in their evenings, and so a lot of it just happens organically out of the structure that we provide on Tuesday night.
And out of that, I mean, you're saying you're looking at different things over the last few years. What are some of the issues that Harmony Through Harmony has become involved with over those years?
Our very first pilot project year, the book study that I introduced was Not for Sale by David Batstone, and it's an excellent book that covers a variety of countries on the issue of modern-day slavery. And I thought over the course of that year that we would cover the whole book, but we only got through the first chapter, which was on sexual exploitation and human trafficking in Eastern Asia. And our group, that pilot project here, had zero exposure to the issue of human trafficking, and they just were really quite horrified that they didn't know anything about this. And so that's where we landed, and we spent the entire year looking at human trafficking on a world scale and then on a Canadian scale, and that has been really where we've continued since that time. We've looked at, our second year, we looked at it more from how is human trafficking and sexual exploitation affecting children, and what are the statistics around that, and how can we respond. We've looked at how pornography is a part of the problem and part of the same chain of slavery, and how do we break that free. We've looked at what's going on in Canada, and the exploration of those has taken us into really neat discussions on just what does this mean in terms of our faith? What does God call us to in the to rescue the oppressed, the orphan, the widow, and what does that look like today? And in August 2011, we took 14 of our participants to South Africa for a month. And that was a learning and serving trip primarily, where we were just exposed to the complexities of South Africa, its richness, its diversity, and the ongoing challenges post-apartheid. And South Africa has, of course, a real AIDS crisis, but it also has a real rape crisis and sexual abuse crisis. And so we looked at that trauma, and that really fed the passion of our young adults in regards to speaking up and being a voice for children who are being exploited.
Mm-hmm. Well, I need to take one final break, and then we'll finish our interview with Harmony Through Harmony director Beth McLean Waste. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
I can see you coming. I hear your song rising.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to 10 from Jacob and Lily's The Cathedral CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Harmony Through Harmony's Beth McLean Wiest. Beth, one of the things you're talking about was you did a trip to South Africa with the choir, and you just yourself last fall were in Cambodia on a scouting trip. What was that all about that will relate back to what the group's doing?
I went to Cambodia on a vision trip with International Justice Mission, and I went because the issue that we have been exploring fairly intensely of human trafficking and sexual exploitation is a real issue in Cambodia, and International Justice Mission has been working there for a long time, but has had offices there since 2005, I think, when I wanted to learn about what they were doing on the ground and see it. International Justice Mission has been one of the organizations that we promote when we do our concerts. We want to bring the issues to the public and be a voice in a non-threatening way. Concerts are able to do that. We use music and then we have a message in between. And then we invite our audiences to respond because we want to leave them with hope, not in the despair of the issue, but that Christ is the solution and he is the hope of the world, and there are amazing organizations who are working on the ground fighting it, and they need the church to wake up and get involved and be part of those agents of change by helping them with funds, helping them with awareness, helping them with volunteers. So we invite organizations to be in our foyer of our concerts to promote, and one of those is International Justice Mission. So since I and then our organization has been advocating actively for them, I wanted to be able to be more of a voice by seeing on the ground what it is that they're doing.
Right.
So I was in Cambodia and in Thailand. Mm-hmm. That was challenging, and I also wanted to see, is this a place that would be appropriate to take a group of our singers to, both from a learning standpoint as well as encouraging people there and sharing music or not.
Right. So you're probably about halfway through your current season. What's sort of on the agenda for Harmony Through Harmony the next little while?
This spring, summer, and into fall, we are looking to bring Harmony Through Harmony to other provinces in Canada. And we are connecting with two potentially three different organizations to do that. Street Level, which is a national network promoting homelessness in Canada, how to fight it, and what are the organizations that are doing it, and bring them together to make a difference, and International Justice Mission, and then Youth for Christ, and their work with youth on the streets in particular. So we are in discussion with all of them on how we can help bring greater awareness to what they're doing into churches across Canada and into schools, and how we can share our message, but also learn about what is going on in our country and what are our challenges. Our, as a result of the South Africa trip, our group came back really interested in the injustice that we have here, in how little we know about our First Nations people and going on the reserves. And so our group is learning about that this year.
Great. Well, so if someone's interested in following you and finding out more about what Harmony Through Harmony is doing and whether or not they're going to be in an area near them, where can they find all that information?
You can go to our website, www.harmonythroughharmony.com, and we would love to hear from you. There is a contact us part of the website, and there's lots of information on there. We update our concerts regularly, and that's a great way to connect with us. And we're always looking for leaders who have a passion for music and justice and leadership and faith together, and we're looking to start ensembles in other parts of Canada. So if that's something that resonates, I would love to hear from you.
Great. Well, Beth, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share about my passions and Harmony Through Harmony and what God's up to through us.
Great. And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Beth McLean-Wiest. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.